I want to start our talk today looking at different belief blockers. Now, what's a belief blocker? A belief blocker is one of those topics or things that Christians might hold to, which those who might be outside the faith or might be exploring the faith really wrestle or struggle with. It's the sort of thing that because Christians believe X, I have a hard time exploring faith. Now, all of the things that I'm looking at today for this section have come out of a group called McCrindle Research. So this is Australian research. This is specifically about faith and belief in Australia. And I think it was done about 2 or 3 years ago. So it's actually relatively recent research that gives us some really good data about how do people outside of the church view faith, view Christian belief, and what are the things that might be challenging for them to go, you know what, I might explore Christianity. So the top seven probably aren't that much of a... I'll tell you the categories because you can probably only read the actual percentages. The top seven are, first one, 33%, the Christian view on homosexuality. So about for 33% of people, this is all people who wouldn't identify as being Christian, that struggle with the Christian view around homosexuality. Another 24%, have suggested that hell and condemnation and the topic of hell and condemnation is one of the biggest challenges for them to consider belief. Then we have suffering, the existence of suffering in the world. Spiritual reasons, spiritual connections, spiritual things that we're in. The fact that Christians believe in a spiritual realm beyond just what we see and know and feel. For some people, 23%, that's actually a block to them exploring Christianity. 21% have said the role of women. Now, that doesn't specify if it's the role of women now or the role of women historically. But for 21% of people, the role of women in Christian faith, whether they have or don't have or many different variations within, is a belief blocker for people exploring the Christian faith. 20% have said the Bible itself is actually a belief blocker. There's something about the Bible or whether or not you can believe it or whether it's true or different things around that that they would say is a reason that they struggle to consider the Christian faith. And then finally, we have science and evolution. And that's one that actually, if you went back 10 or 15 years ago, the percentage of that was much higher. That one has waned a fair bit, and that's now down to only 18% of people have suggested that evolution. I was like, I had a mental block, not a belief block. I had a mental block. Science and evolution was a reason why they wouldn't consider faith. So these are all belief blockers. Still fairly significant, but nothing more than a third of people looking at one particular topic. Here's another one. What about behavior blockers? What are some of the behaviors of Christians or the Christian faith that would challenge someone as to whether or not they could explore Christianity? Now, the number one at 57% of those who were surveyed said that the topic of church abuse, that churches abusing their people or churches abusing their role in society or church abusing just generally speaking, that's a behavior that makes it really hard for a person to explore faith. The second one is hypocrisy at 47%. So 47% of those who asked or who were asked suggested, you know what, Christians are a bunch of people who say one thing and do another. And because of that, I just can't actually view Christianity. 45% have suggested religious wars. And so that's not specifically about Christian faith. That's just religions always at each other and arguing, debating and saying, I'm right and you're wrong. And all the wars and the challenges that go along with it. And 45% of those surveyed suggested that that was a behavior blocker. 43% said judging others, that there's this perception that Christians are about judging people and that that is a behavior that puts people off is 40%. So 40% of people have said the church is just out for your money. They're going to do giving campaigns. Oh, hang on a second, we're going to do that. But the way that they do it in some contexts, it's not appropriate. And that is a behavior blocker to a whole host of people. One of the things that really fascinates me as I look at this is when I think about what are the challenges for people, I normally think it's actually the beliefs. But the percentages for every one of those beliefs was actually down in the sort of 20s and 30s. But the behaviors, that's up in the 40s and 50s. That actually for a lot of people, it's not only the beliefs. And yes, there were obviously beliefs that are challenging. But the biggest challenges tend to be their experience of the behavior of Christians. That it's the behaviors and the way that Christians don't necessarily always live up to what they say. Now, Christians would say we're all sinners, and therefore that's part of the reason. Actually, this is proof that we are who we say we are, because we are sinners. We need Jesus. We don't get it right. But if we're going to engage our community, if we're going to go beyond our own four walls, we need to have an awareness and even an appreciation and to some degree the capacity to speak into these things, to express and to carry each day as we go about following Jesus and understanding that these are the things that people are looking for. These are the things that will speak most to them. Are you going to abuse me? Are you going to actually do what you say you're going to do? Do you have an attitude of understanding different viewpoints and different perspectives and different understandings? Are you going to judge me for not thinking what you think? And are you going to come and take my money? Or related topics like that. Now, here's one thing that I found fascinating from the same research project. More than half, so it came in at 52%, more than half of Australians are open to changing their religious views if given the right circumstances and the right evidence. And this one I wouldn't have picked, but it's come out in a few surveys actually quite recently. Younger Australians are more open to changing their current religious views than older generations. That generally speaking, older generations, they're pretty fixed on what they believe. But younger generations are exploring that. Now, that doesn't mean that they're open to the Christian faith specifically. They're just open to what is going on. Is there more to life than this? Is there something beyond myself? And 50% of those who actually looked at this said, yeah, I'm actually open. Now, that also means all of these were people who wouldn't identify as Christian. Interesting. I don't know that I would have put the stat as being that high. One last little bit of research, and those of you who love research here are going, oh, I love this, and those of you don't, oh, stop with the figures, but it's an interesting thing to explore. Barna is a group in America, so this is not the same research project, but it was asked again of people who are considering exploring faith. What do people value in a person that they would talk about spiritual matters with? So if you're going to be a person that someone's willing to talk to about this, because not everybody is willing to talk to everybody about spiritual matters. In fact, it's often the conversation stopper. Someone brings up God, oh, yeah, I'm good. I'm going to head off over here. What's the number one thing that those exploring faith would be hoping for in someone that they would talk to about spiritual matters? Overwhelmingly, it came in as this. Listening, but not just listening. Listening without judgment. So being able to hear what the other person says and not then feeling the need to fix it or critique it or correct it or demonstrate how wrong they are, because they are, but no. But actually being able to listen and make that person feel heard. Now, this came from the book that our series is coming from, and there's a quote from it that says this: the sad news is that 2/3 of the people surveyed said they had no one in their life who would listen without judgment. None. So this is back to the other research, not the Barna research. 2/3 of people surveyed for the book say that there is no one in their life that they feel they can turn to and talk about matters of spirituality without the fear of that person judging them. Really, really big challenge. So we're in week 2 of our new series looking at Bless, and the series is all about how do we practically engage the world around us. The Christian faith is not a faith of coming into our own little cloister and huddling up and surviving until Jesus returns. The Christian faith is a faith of being sent. That followers of Jesus are called to put action to their beliefs. And so last week, we looked at B, which stands for begin with prayer. And we looked at how do we practically do that? How do we actually just start with prayer? And why is it that we start with prayer? If you missed that, I really encourage you to go back. It's on the website. Jump on and have a listen, because it really is important to start this process from a place of prayer. The L stands for listening, and I've added the without judgment. That's not what it is in the book, but then the book goes on to talk about it as if it is. So listening without judgment. So the question in someone into today is what role does listening have in someone coming to know Jesus? Just how important is it for someone to feel heard? What is the role of listening? How can we grow in our own capacity to listen as part of the journey of someone towards knowing Jesus? So I want to start off, and we'll look at a few Proverbs. Proverbs is a great place to get wisdom and get some advice. Sometimes we have to kind of read into it for a while because it doesn't make a lot of sense on the surface level. But when you dig in, you go, oh, okay. Some of them, it hits you between the eyes. And you're like, how did I never see this before? I've read this, but how did I not see it? So in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27, it says this. The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint. And whoever has understanding is even-tempered. The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint. And whoever has understanding is even-tempered. Now, that's not talking specific about listening, but I think it speaks to the heart of someone who would listen without judgment. If you actually know something, if you have confidence that what you believe is true, then you have knowledge. And Proverbs would suggest that you use that knowledge with restraint. That it's not your place to forcefully shove every bit of knowledge that you know onto the person that might be talking with you. One of the hardest things to do is to listen to someone who's talking about something that you just know it's wrong, but in that moment, they're not looking for you to tell them what's right. And learning to use our words with restraint. Proverbs 18 verse 2 says this, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. There's a lot of fools on Facebook. Fools find no pleasure in understanding. They don't actually want to know anything. Oh, but they delight in airing their own opinions. The same thing goes when we're listening to others. That when they share what's going on for them, when they share their questions, we can jump right in and we will share our opinions. And the world will know what we think. But have we understood? Have we heard what they're actually asking? I think sometimes those who are exploring spirituality, they're trying to work out if you're a safe person to talk to. So they're sharing the surface level question that's got it's got an oodles worth of undercurrent. And if we jump at that question and go into the great big monologue that solves that question straight away, we might miss that the reason they're asking is connected to the stuff that's down here. And our answer doesn't go close to the questions they have beneath the surface. In Proverbs 18, verse 13, it says this, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. Here's one of the biggest challenges to listening, and I'm currently preaching to myself. When you listen, are you listening to hear or are you listening to speak? You know what it's like. Someone starts talking to you, and as they're talking, you start to formulate your response. You start to go through in your mind and start to think about it, and you catch this, the significant parts of what they're saying, but you're ready with your response. You're ready to go, ha-ha, let me tell you what I think. Listening without judgment actually means that you're not listening to be able to give that answer straight away. One of the persons that I've spoken with over the years frustrates the living daylights out of me, but I really respect him for it. Because I will say something and he won't be ready to answer. Because he listens and he waits until I finish. Then he starts to think about what he wants to say. And so I have to sit there and patiently wait for him to do the thinking part. And then he responds. And in that moment of, what's he going to say? Like, oh, what's going on here? It's kind of like, but then what he shares is actually what I need to hear. Because when he was listening, he was actually listening. He was actually present. He was in the moment. He heard every word from my lips. And he let that be what infuses the answer that he gave. And it wasn't the quick, it wasn't the, well, I know what I'm going to say, so I'm ready to go. It was the, let me just consider this for a moment. Another scripture that I want to go to that's not necessarily one that you would associate with this, but you'll understand why I have it here in a moment. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7, it's the marriage verse. It's the, let's read this out at the wedding because it's all about what love is. Love is patient, love is kind. Does not envy, does not boast. It's not proud. Does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. How does that fit in with listening? Well, Dave Ferguson, who wrote the book Bless, says this of listening. And again, I've added a little bit to the quote because I think it adds context. Listening without judgment is one of the purest acts of love. That listening without judgment. When you get heard by someone, when they actually hear what you say, when you know that you can talk to them and what you share is not going to get thrown back in your face, when you have confidence that as you speak your deepest, darkest challenges, those questions that you can't air anywhere else because you can't trust the person to receive them, when you find the person you can do that with, you feel loved. So I actually think you could reword that scripture. I know. But I think you could actually do this, and you could look at listening through this lens. Listening is patient. Listening is kind. Listening does not envy, does not boast, it's not proud, doesn't dishonor others, it's not self-seeking. You people who don't listen could use with hearing that one. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Listening does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Could you imagine that kind of listening? Like as you think about when you have something on your heart that you want to share, imagine that the person that you are sharing those thoughts, those emotions, those challenges, those wrestles that you have deep within, and you knew in advance that that was the character of the person you were going to talk to. That they were going to be patient with you as you try and formulate those words through tears coming down your face. that they were going to be kind in the way they respond to you opening up about all of those things. That they weren't going to envy your story or the parts of your story or the ways that you might actually share some things that they actually really want but they don't have, but they can listen and not be envious of it. That you know they're not going to dishonor you. That as you share it, they're not going to race out and share it from the mountaintops. That their listening is not going to be self-seeking. They're not going to try and find a way to turn what you're sharing into a moment for them to go, all right, here's what I have to say, and here are my woes, and here are my challenges, and let's make this about me now. That the person that was listening isn't going to delight in evil. They're not going to be like, woohoo, yeah, you did even really bad things. They're going to find ways to rejoice in the truth. That the listener is going to protect. The listener is going to trust. The listener is going to hope for you and hope with you. And the listener is going to persevere. That kind of listening will change the world. I don't think there's a lot of that listening going on in the world today. And listening is the number one thing that people who are exploring faith want to know that you have the capacity for if they're going to share what's really going on beneath the surface. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, there's a kind of listening with half an ear that presumes already to know what the other person has to say. It's an impatient, inattentive listening that despises the brother and is only waiting for a chance to speak and thus get rid of that person. I unfortunately think this is a symptomatic of much of the listening that takes place. It's impatient, inattentive listening. It's about the person listening, not about the person being heard. But listening without judgment is all about putting you in that yourself in the position of, I'm here for you. When you listen to others without judgment, you'll hear things you would have otherwise missed. When you listen to people without judgment, you will hear things you otherwise would have missed. So how do we practically do this? How do we actually say, oh, well and good, but you know, I actually need to be able to do this. What do I do? What are some tips? Here's the first question you have to ask yourself. Are you a listener? And some of you are like, absolutely, I am a listener. Great. You are so far ahead of the rest of us. Sit there and just wait patiently while I talk to those who aren't listeners, and I could probably sit down right now. If you're not a listener, that's actually your starting point. Acknowledge and recognize that you like to talk. Yeah, I am not a listener. I'm learning. I'd like to say that I've learned, but I actually think I need to say that I'm learning to be a listener. I'm learning to stop the million thoughts that go through my mind when someone else is talking. I'm learning to start not formulating my answers straight away. And I actually have to start there. You need to know for yourself. You need that self-understanding. Am I a natural listener or am I a natural talker? Both have their strengths and both are needed. But when it comes to being a listener without judgment, you need to be really focused on your own understanding of, if I'm going to listen without judgment, I've got some work to do. First step. Then you've got to go down the path of, am I listening to hear or am I listening to respond? And train yourself. Even a natural listener sometimes can still be listening ready to respond, rather than the focus of the listening being to hear. And then out of hearing that, moving into response. So ask yourself the question, when you're listening, when someone's sharing with you, how can you make sure that you're actually listening to hear and not just listening. Now, don't be so caught up in hearing that you actually, because some might say, but then I won't know what to say. Well, no, no, if you've actually heard them, you will be in the best position to respond. So if you are listening and then you don't know what to say, or as in you don't actually hear what they say, you haven't heard them. You've just blanked out. You've zoned out and you're somewhere else. Listening to hear actually makes it easier for you to respond, because you will hear what they say. Here are some other practical tips. Listen for the God peace that you can affirm. So when you're talking to someone who doesn't think the way you do, who doesn't necessarily view Christianity the way that you view it, who doesn't necessarily think on the same topics the way that you think, rather than listening for what you can correct, listen for the God peace that you can affirm. Listen to what they say and find from within what they say the little nugget. It might be a small piece, and they might have a great big diatribe that you would love to sit down and tear apart and pull to pieces. But find the little piece of God, the little truth, the little nugget that you can affirm. It might even be that they're just open to talking about it, and you say, you know what, I'm actually really glad that you're able to talk to me about this. Find the God peace that you can affirm rather than looking to correct what they say. Now, if they ask you very specifically, what's your view, and there will come time to actually share what you think, that's not the first place. That's as you develop and build your relationship over time, you will be invited to share. Because they will learn that you are someone who listened. So look for the God peace that you can affirm. Here's a really simple one. Even if you're talking with someone who you are almost an ardent critic of, or you're aware that they're, you know, quite different to you, actually start from a position of assuming the best rather than assuming the worst. If the worst is true, it will become self-evident. But if you actually assume the worst and you enter the conversation expecting it to be terrible, it's amazing how often it goes terribly. Because you come in with the demeanor of, I'm just expecting this is going to be a runaway train in that direction, and oh, I'm ready. But if you come in and go, maybe they've had some introspection, maybe they've had some time to actually process and think, and maybe they're going to ask some good questions, maybe I'm going to learn something that I didn't know about them. Assume the best as you come into those challenging conversations, as you come into those opportunities to hear from someone who might have questions. Assume the best rather than assuming the worst. Your goal is not to win the conversation. You go away feeling like, I showed them, yeah. And they go away going, I'm never talking to that person again. But I won, yeah. No, you didn't. You feel good for a moment. You defended the Christian faith and lost the opportunity to bring someone else into it. It's not about winning the conversation. I actually think it's about keeping the conversation alive. Not watering it down, not being willing to share. It's a delicate dance to work around what to say and what not to say. I'll give you that. But if you see every conversation as an opportunity to win, to share, to I spoke the truth, but did they hear it? Did you hear what they were actually asking? Because listening without judgment is what a person is looking for. And this is one that if you can take nothing more away from today, again, this is something one of my friends, he frustrates the living daylights out of me with, but I know that it's actually right. Ask more questions, give fewer answers. Ask more questions, give fewer answers. You know when you get that and you're actually ready to give that answer, before you actually give that answer, ask another question. The amount of times that I've realized after the fact that someone said something or they've asked something, and I've jumped on and answered that question, that if I'd actually asked one or two other questions, the answer that I would have given would have been infinitely different and infinitely more helpful. Almost look to train yourself that rather than giving an answer, find a way to ask a deeper question or to press in a bit more or ask for clarity. Make sure that what they're actually asking you to answer is what you're ready to answer. So ask a couple of questions around that. Or just generally try and have the position of not being the person with all the answers. A lot of the time, a person who's actually talking, they're not talking for you to answer them. They're processing, they're thinking, they're wrestling, they're challenging, and they don't actually want the answer, even if they're asking a question. They're wanting to engage and press in and know that you're someone who is safe for them to wrestle with those questions with. On your chairs or around your chairs or somewhere near you, you will find a list of questions. I didn't come up with these. It came out of the book, Bless. Please take them home, take them with you. If you ever lose any of the resources that I'm talking about here on Sunday, I am making sure they get onto the website. So you will find them on the website under Resources, Engage. Sorry, that in the menu, Resources, there's a tab for Engage. Go to that. Last week's prayer map is there. This week's listening questions are there. And any other resources that I add as we go through will be available. This is just a bit of a starter. I don't expect you to go and memorize these questions, but hey, if you want to, go for it. But read through them, get some ideas, get some thoughts. It's formulated into three different places. Questions for at work, questions for where you, is it rest and play, or is it live? Yeah, live, work, and play. Different categories than I use, so I needed to remember what it was. So where you live, where you work, where you play. That might be helpful for you if you find yourself in the position of talking with people that are exploring or open to explore or at least willing to have a conversation that will help you with listening. When you listen without judgment, you will hear things you would otherwise have missed. Let's pray. Father, I pray you would help us as a church to be a church that listens. Listens to hear rather than just listens to respond. Help us individually as we go about our different things during the week. Help us collectively as a church as we gather in the different formats that we gather in. To be known in this community as a place that listens, that is able to hear and able to know. I pray that you'd help us to have the humility to listen first. And as we build connections and relationships with people, that we would trust and know that we will have the opportunity to share what needs to be shared. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.